This is a commercial-free, streaming on-demand presentation from 92.9 WBPN.
William Blake wrote, "If the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to man as it is, infinite." A young Jim Morrison read this in Aldous Huxley's book, The Doors of Perception, and that's how one of America's most successful and loved bands got its name, The Doors. Bellowing. Theatrical.
You cannot petition the Lord with prayer!
Controversial.
Father, yes, son, I want to kill you.
Sexy.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, now touch me, babe.
A singles band?
Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game.
That's right. By the end of 1971, the Doors had sold 7,750,000 singles. Here's what the late Jim Morrison had to say about having hit singles.
We joke around about it a lot, but actually, we just do an album. And then every time we make a choice for a single, it usually turns out wrong. Well, we pick them, but I don't think we really have a key to the pulse of the nation because we've made more mistakes than we've been right.
Guitarist and songwriter Robbie Krieger.
To us, it was kind of an annoyance because, like you say, we were more of an album-type band. But, you know, in those days, you had to have a single to get national recognition. So we went with the flow.
On September 15th, 2017, the Doors put out the singles, which includes the 20 singles and their B-sides from all six of the landmark studio albums the quartet released between 1967 and 1971. It'll be coming out in multiple configurations. Hi, I'm Dan Neer. Over the next hour, we'll get a guided tour provided by all four members of The Doors, the late Jim Morrison and Ray Manzarek, along with Robbie Krieger and John Densmore.
Hi, this is Robbie Krieger from The Doors. Welcome to the Singles All Access.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through. We chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there. But can you still recall the time we cried? Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
Collection the singles, that was their first one off their self-titled debut, Break On Through. That song only reached 126 on the Billboard charts when it was released in 1967. How on earth
did that not become a hit?
I think the reason was because it was a bossa nova, drumming-wise. You know, I'm not saying it was bad to be a bossa nova, but it was so different than any other single that's ever been out there by a rock band, you know? I think people just didn't quite get it. It wasn't quite danceable. Maybe it was in Mexico or Puerto Rico. Yeah, it's a great song.
Whatever the reason, the next single from that album made up for it. Light My Fire reached number one on the charts. Robbie Krieger.
Things started to cool off, and I remember saying to somebody that, man, we made this great album, and I'm afraid that nobody's ever going to hear it.
That's why fears aren't facts.
Well, I mean, if Light My Fire hadn't come out, that might have been a fact.
So Light My Fire was your very first song that you wrote ever, right?
Yeah, as far as me writing a song myself, yeah.
Keyboardist, the late Ray Manzarek.
The fact that the introduction to Light My Fire is so readily recognizable, it's a great honor, but it's a tribute to my piano teachers, you know, is actually what it is, to Bruno Michelotti in Chicago, a great jazz piano player and a fellow that I call the little professor who got me onto playing Bach 2 and 3 part inventions. So basically it's a simple little Bach-like circle of fifths, and it's no big deal, but I'm very grateful that everyone likes it and it's recognizable.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. The time to hesitate is through. No time to wallow in the mire. China, we can only lose. And our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on.
Fire from The Doors, The Singles. That song propelled The Doors' self-titled debut album to number two in the Summer of Love, 1967. It was held out of the number one spot only by the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Though Jim Morrison died in 1971, his legend has only grown through the decades. Here's drummer John Densmore.
I like that he's a legend. It's great. Because I like that he can help to ask questions and resist authority. I'm a little worried about people just copying his self-destructiveness for its own sake. I have mixed emotions, you know, about, like I'll see a 13-year-old kid with his Morrison on his T-shirt, and I'll think, this kid doesn't know what it was about. But they're all being exposed to the music, and I'm real proud of every track. I mean, we really worked hard and tried to keep the quality up, and that's great.
Guitarist Robbie Krieger on how the first single from their second album, Strange Days, was created.
Jim had had a bad night, and he was all suicidal or something, you know, so he came over to our house, and we were trying to get him in a better mood. So I thought of an idea to go up to the top of Laurel Canyon where the sun was about to come up. You know, this was like 5 a.m. by that time. And it did. It snapped him right out of that mood, and he said, oh, you know, people are strange when you're strange. It's not the other way around, you know. And he came up with those words right on the spot, and I put a guitar to it. And then, you know, when we worked it out in the studio, Ray put his magic keyboard on it, and it turned out great.
Ray Manzarek.
The people are still the same. They are still strange. They are still slaves to the establishment. You can work. That's fine. You go to work 9 to 5. You do your job as long as you're not a slave. If you're a slave, your mind is clouded and you don't know what's going on. But if you're doing it as a free man or a free woman on the planet, there's nothing wrong with that. God bless, you know. If you're working for an insurance company, working for a bank, somebody's got to handle the money. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Unless you're a slave. Unless your eyes are clouded by greed and by money and a sex scandal. This is what we're living in now, an age of sex scandal, the tabloids. And if you keep the American populace in a heated state of sexual scandal, they won't see through that to see that the military-industrial complex is ruining the planet. Thanks a lot, guys. Why they're doing that, I have no idea.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. All right, yeah.
Newly released The Doors, The Singles, People Are Strange. That was originally found on The Doors' second album, Strange Days, which also contained...
Love Me Two Times was the song that I wrote after Light My Fire. I wanted to do a blues, and I kind of copped the lick from a guy named Spider John Kerner, who did a song called Downbound Train on an album called The Blues Project. But the song is sort of about going off to war, maybe, and missing your girlfriend.
Showing off the band's creativity and spontaneity in the recording studio, The Doors decided to feature on that song the venerable rock and roll instrument, the harpsichord.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. They had a harpsichord at the studio. I guess it was from another session or something. And Ray said, hey, let me try that thing, you know. And it just worked perfect, you know.
Let me two time, baby. Let me twice today. Let me two time, girl. I'm gone away. Love me two time, girl. One for tomorrow, one just for today. Love me two time, I'm gone away. Love me one time, do not speak. Love me one time. Yeah, my knees got weak. Love me two time, girl. Last me all through the week. Love me two times, I'm gone away. Love me two times, I'm gone away. Love me two times, I'm gone away. Love me two times, babe. Love me twice today. Love me two times, babe. Cause I'm gone away. Love me two times, girl. One for tomorrow, one kiss for today. Love me two times.
The second single off the Strange Days album in 1967, now found in sonic splendor on the newly released The Doors, the Singles Collection, Love Me Two Times. Now, for those who aren't old enough to remember, singles came with an A-side and a B-side. The B-side of Love Me Two Times was a landmark song in Doors history. Ray Manzarek tells the story.
Jim and I met at UCLA. We were fellow film students at the film school at UCLA, and we had been friends and stoner buddies at UCLA and talked about film and all that. And then we graduated in late May of 1965. He said he was going to New York City. He was going to get into avant-garde underground filmmaking. And I said, well, I just got to California. I'm going to stay here in Los Angeles and see if I can get a career in film going. So about a month and a half after graduation, I saw Jim on the beach again. And I said, hey, man, I thought you were going to New York. He said, no, I decided to stay here. I said, what have you been up to? He said, I've been writing some songs. And I said, wow, writing songs, yeah? I knew he was a poet, but he'd never really written songs before. So I said, hey, why don't you sing me a song? Let me hear something. The first song he started to do for me was Moonlight Drive. When I heard those lyrics, let's swim to the moon, let's climb through the tide, penetrate the evening that the city sleeps to hide. I thought, oh, wow, great lyrics, whoa. After he finished the song, I said, got anything else? And he said, yeah, I do. And he did a couple of other tunes. And I said, man, this is fabulous. Let's get a rock and roll band together. He said, that's exactly what I want to do. And the rest is history. That's how it started, right there on the beach in Venice, summer of 1965. John and Robbie and Ray Manzarek get together at the Maharishi's meditation. We were all studying East Indian meditation in an attempt to attain an elevated state of consciousness without ingesting psychedelic substances. And I met them in the class at the Maharishi's meditation. Somebody pointed out John and said, that guy's a drummer. And I went up to talk to him and said, look, I've got a friend of mine who's a poet. I'm a keyboard player. We're putting some songs together. We need a drummer. And he pointed to Robbie and said, well, that guy's a guitar player. And said, well, let's get together, man, and see how it all sounds. And the first song we played as the Doors was Moonlight Drive. And it was a transcendental experience. We smoked a joint, played the song, simple blues song. Robbie put a bottleneck on his finger and started playing that snaky, eerie bottleneck sound, tremolo bottleneck on the guitar. And we proceeded to play Moonlight Drive, and it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. I knew at that point what music was supposed to be and what music could be, and I thought, this is it, man, we got it. We're going to be number one, because there's nobody doing anything like this.
Let's swim to the moon, uh-huh. Let's climb through the tide, penetrate the evening that the city sleeps too high. Let's swim out tonight, love. It's our time to try. Park beside the ocean on our moonlight drive.
One of the 20 B-sides you'll find on The Doors, the singles collection. More All Access when The Doors open again after these messages.
Music for the 8-track generation. People who don't need fast forward or rewind. Just play.
On WBPM.
Come on in. We're celebrating the release of The Doors, the singles, on All Access with all the members of the band. I'm Dan Neer. The Doors worked nonstop in 1967, recording their first two albums and touring constantly. In December of that year, Jim Morrison was arrested at the band's concert in New Haven, Connecticut. The Doors then started to develop a controversial reputation with older people in law enforcement, while at the same time becoming wildly popular with the youth. As The Doors went into the studio to record their third album, Waiting for the Sun, the first single they decided to release ahead of the album was anything but typical, The Unknown Soldier, which featured a theatrical piece in the middle, complete with sound effects and military drumming. While that one barely grazed the top 40 of the time, their next one rocketed to number one, propelling the Waiting for the Sun album to top the charts as well.
A lot of people say that we copied a Kinks song on Hello, I Love You, All Day and All the Night. And somebody asked Ray Davies about that later, and he said, no, not at all. I mean, you know, you could make the argument, it's all day, da-da, and all of the night, hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? But there was absolutely no way that we tried to steal anything from him. But what we did steal, which people don't know, is the drum beat. I had the idea of making the drum beat the same as the Cream song, Sunshine of Your Love. It's got that same drum beat where the tom-toms come in. So if anybody could sue us for that song, it would be Cream.
Ray Manzarek.
Jim's talking about a little black girl that we saw walking down the beach, 17 years old, in a bikini. Jim and I were sitting there, man, and this chick walked by, and she was just gorgeous. What a body. 16, 17 years old, and a kind of a light cocoa color, and Jim just absolutely fell in love with her, and he wanted to walk up to her and say, hello, I love you. What's your name? I love you. Who are you? I don't know anything about you. Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name? So he puts the line in, do you hope to make her see you, fool? Do you hope to pluck this dusky jewel? Dusky, meaning dark, meaning a person of African-American ancestry. So it's a worship of this absolutely gorgeous little black chick, man, is what that song is all about. So it's an interracial, it's a forbidden love is what the Doors were all about. Forbidden love.
Hello. I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. She's walking down the street, blind to every eye she meets. Do you think you'll be the guy to make the queen of the angel's side? Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. She holds her head so high, like a statue in the sky. Her arms are wicked and her legs are long. When she moves, my brain screams out this song. Sidewalk crouches at her feet, like a dog that begs for something sweet. Do you hope to make her see you, fool? Do you hope to pluck this dusky jewel? Hello! 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 Hello!
I want you.
Hello!
I need my baby.
Hello!
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 The Doors in a song of forbidden love. Hello, I love you. You can now find this tune of Taboo on The Doors' The Singles out right now. The Waiting for the Sun album took the longest to record of any Doors album up to that point, 4 months. Jim's dependence on alcohol and prescription drugs at that time contributed to their lengthy studio time, as did producer Paul Rothchild's perfectionism. The recording of The Doors' fourth album, The Soft Parade, took even longer, 8 months, due to the same reasons, plus their idea to add in strings and woodwinds to the basic sound. While all of this was going on, the media kept calling Jim a sex symbol. Here's Jim on that.
Talk gets around, crazy talk like that. What happens? You know, that's a difficult burden to bear, you know? It really is. Because we all know no one's any sexier than anyone else, right? Everybody's got the same equipment, unless biologically you got mixed up or something. We're all about the same. It's the reporters, it's the press, people like that, that create this insanity, you know, that make up this stuff, and then people start believing it, you know?
Why, you weren't consciously playing that?
Hell no.
And you didn't dig it?
Well, I must admit that there were occasions when having a reputation like that did help me out in some tight situations. And plus, I got to meet a lot of groovy ladies that otherwise I would, you know, they probably wouldn't even have noticed me. So, in that respect, it was all to the good.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, now touch me, babe. Can't you see that I am not afraid? Why won't you tell me what she said? What was that promise that you made? Now I'm gonna love you
on, come on, come on, come on, now touch me, babe. Can you see that I am not afraid? What was that promise that you made? Why won't you tell me what she said? What was that promise that you made? I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain. I'm gonna love you till the stars fall from the sky for you and I. Heaven stop the rain. I'm gonna love you till the stars fall from the sky.
The Doors' inviting song, Touch Me, now heard in dazzling audio quality on The Doors' The Singles Collection.
More from The Doors when The Singles All Access breaks on through to the other side. This is Robbie Krieger, so stick around.
More music in just a moment.
92.9 WBPM, where we fill your day with lots of back-to-back music.
The music America loves best.
Bob Miller starts your workday with a non-stop music hour at 9 a.m. every weekday. J.J. Carter does a non-stop music hour after lunch at 2 p.m. And Randy Turner rolls you home with another non-stop music hour every afternoon at 5 p.m. after work.
Listen to all this music in the air.
No other radio station gives you that much music without interruptions. Non-stop music hours are only here on 92.9 WBPM.
Thank you. Now more music.
We're delighted you could rejoin us for our celebration for the new Doors collection, The Singles, through the words of all four members. I'm Dan Neer. After The Doors took it on the chin because of Jim Morrison's infamous Miami concert where he was accused of indecent exposure and the critics' lukewarm at best reception of the Soft Parade, they went back to being who they were at the core, one of America's best bands. They released the album Morrison Hotel in February of 1970. Once again, the late Jim Morrison.
It was funny, the first album we did in about 10 days, and then each succeeding album took longer and longer until the last one took about 9 months to do. And this one, we went in and we got a song a day. It was amazing. Partly because we went back to the original instrumentation, just the four of us and a bass player.
Roadhouse Blues is one of the most loved Doors songs to this day. The harmonica on that was contributed from a fellow credited as Gary Pugliese, drummer John Densmore.
For a while there, people were like, man, this group's too dark. And I think, I'm quite sure, John Sebastian chose to play harmonica and have him credited as G. Pugliese instead of John Sebastian, because at the time, people were down on the Doors. But you know, in the long run, I'm only 72, my hair's gray, and I'm still talking about this band when I was a teenager, so we did something right.
An invaluable contribution to Roadhouse Blues was made by the janitor at the recording studio. Here's Robbie Krieger.
One thing that really was cool about that song is the bass player. Lonnie Mack played bass on that song. You know, and he was actually a guitar player, everybody knows that. But at that time, his career had taken a nosedive, and he was selling Bibles out of the back of his car.
Oh, jeez.
And one of the guys that worked at Elektra saw him and said, what are you doing, man? He said, why don't you come and work at Elektra? You know, she's doing what? You know, well, anything, you know. And so he was like sweeping up and just, you know, being a handyman around the studio. And we didn't have a bass player that night. So I asked him if he could play bass. And he said, yeah, sure, I'll try it. And just one of the best bass parts ever on a blues song, as far as I'm concerned. It's just like a steamroller, man. That just steamrolls that song along so cool.
I'll keep your eyes on the road, your hand upon the wheel.
Blues from the Doors. That was the B-side of the single You Make Me Real, released in March of 1970, and now heard on the singles compilation. One reason the Doors were so committed to each and every song on their albums was the idea that the band would share equally in the publishing of their music. That's where most of the money for an artist from the sales of their albums is generated. Drummer John Densmore.
I'm a quarter of the publishing company, yes. Which was Jim's idea, and a great idea. And I don't say that from a finance point of view, but I don't deny that we're doing great, you know. But it was a way of saying, look, you guys, I don't know how to play an instrument. I don't know anything about chord changes. So let's do this all together, and, you know, we'll really help each other. And it made a total commitment from all four parts. And that's why we're so strong.
On April 19th, 1971, The Doors' sixth and final album, released while Jim Morrison was living, was unleashed, L.A. Woman. And what an album. Ray Manzarek.
Paul Rothschild said he didn't want to produce the album, and the best thing Paul could have done, it was a real ruse on his part, but it really kicked us in the butt to make us go out and do it on our own. So we went into our own rehearsal studio. Bruce Botnick brought the equipment over from Elektra Records. We had a 16-track board and recorder upstairs. We recorded downstairs. He had cables running down, and we just went to work, man. And we knew that we had to create, and we had to do it, and we had to recapture the magic of the first album. And if I can be so bold as to say, I think we did. I think we got it, man. Morrison was just on top of it lyrically and on top of it vocally, and the band just smoked, man. We played so well. I was so proud of being in that band. It was just great.
Don't you love her madly? Don't you need her badly? Don't you love her ways? Tell me what you say. Don't you love her badly? Wanna be her daddy? Don't you love her face? Don't you love her as she's walking out the door? Like she did 1,000 times before. Don't you love her ways? Tell me what you say. Don't you love her as she's walking out the door? All your love, all your love, all your love.
The new The Singles collection by The Doors, Love Her Madly, originally released on their L.A. Woman album. Now, what was the reason Paul Rothschild gave for not producing the album? He was unhappy with the new songs they had written for it so far. Robbie Krieger.
It was mainly Riders on the Storm, believe it or not. Yeah, he said it sounded like cocktail music. I could see that. But I think, really, Paul, he didn't really dislike those songs. He was just needing an excuse to get out of it because he wanted to do Janis Joplin. I think that's what it was, to tell you the truth. And he knew that Jim was getting harder to deal with, which he was, and he was kind of getting tired of that, and, you know, especially after dealing with Janis, because he'd already done one album with her. And one reason why it was tremendous is because we did it sort of like the first album. We did it real quick. Not a bunch of takes, and, you know, nothing against Paul Rothschild, but he tended to be too perfectionistic, which is a lot of the reason I think that Jim would get bored, like I would say, and go out and get drunk, and then we wouldn't get a good vocal, so we'd have to come back the next day, and just stuff just started taking so long.
Ray Manzarek.
So L.A. Woman is all in all a great album and a fitting tribute to Jim Morrison, his last album on the planet. Riders on the Storm is the last song Jim Morrison ever sang on planet Earth. And the whisper vocal, if you listen very, very carefully at the end of it, you can hear Jim Morrison whispering, Riders on the Storm. He's whispering and singing at the same time. It's an overdub. And that's the last thing Jim ever did before exiting the planet. And he did a brilliant job.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone. Riders on the storm. There's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die. Killer on the road. Yeah. Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone. Riders on the storm.
The last song from The Doors' last studio album with Jim Morrison, Riders on the Storm, from L.A. Woman. That version is taken from the newly released The Singles Collection. That's all the time we've got left, but before we go, it's well known that Jim Morrison passed away a few months after L.A. Woman was released. A few months before his passing, Janis Joplin had passed away, and Jimi Hendrix. Here's what Jim had to say about that.
Well, I guess that great creative burst of energy that happened 3 or 4 years ago was hard to sustain. And for sensitive people, I guess they might be dissatisfied with anything except the heights. And when reality stops fulfilling their inner vision, I guess they get depressed. I hope at about age 120, with a sense of humor and a nice, comfortable bed with... No, I wouldn't want anybody around. I just want to quietly drift off. But I think science has a chance in our lifetime to conquer death. I think it's very possible.
It's too bad that didn't happen before Jim Morrison passed away. Jim may be gone, but the music of the Doors is still alive. Here's John Densmore.
He was such a poet. God, I really miss that part of him, you know? And time helps accept his being a shooting star. I think Tom Petty, I did his show, and he was saying, oh, Jim was like one of those bright geniuses. You just feel all the heat, and then it goes away. The void, from a musical standpoint, is, whew. I mean, to never have sung before and to have all these words and to remember them, think of melodies, and therefore he would sing a cappella these songs that were in his head, like this concert. Ah, man, that is gifted. You know, he couldn't play a chord on any instrument, but he had this symphony in his head.
The Doors, the Singles, includes the 20 singles and their B-sides from all six of the landmark studio albums the quartet released between 1967 and 1971. The singles also feature several songs released after Morrison's passing in 1971, recorded by the surviving trio, as well as live selections from posthumous releases. There are several editions. The two CD release with all 20 singles and their B-sides, plus four mono radio versions, a two CD Blu-ray with those, plus the 1973 compilation The Best of the Doors in quadraphonic sound for the first time, and a limited edition 7-inch vinyl box with all 20 singles and their B-sides on 27-inch vinyl 45s with original sleeve art and labels presented in an ornate lift-top box. The Doors, the Singles, All Access was produced in New York and New Jersey by Near Perfect Productions for Rhino Records, all rights reserved. No portion may be reproduced without the written permission of the producers. If you missed any of this show or simply would like to hear it again, you can in a few weeks at dannear.com. Special thanks to Robbie Krieger and John Densmore and to Jason Elzey at Rhino Records and Rich Mayen. I'm Dan Near.
My name is Jim of The Doors.
Hi, I'm John Densmore.
Hello, this is Ray Manzarek.
And I'm Robbie Krieger. Thanks for listening.
This is...